Scripture this morning will be familiar to you. It comes from Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees of the temple, then the Pharisees came together in a body, and one of them tried to catch Jesus out with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the greatest, the first commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Everything in the law and the prophets hangs on these two commandments." Friends, this is the word of God, and it can be trusted. Well, I want to begin this morning by telling you about two moments from my first semester in high school. You may remember that I went away to school, that I lived in a large dorm with about 60 other guys. It was an experience. The whole school was an experience, but within the experience of the school, my dorm was a whole experience unto itself. It was many things. But among the many things it was, this dorm was almost a laboratory, a kind of a social laboratory, or if you like, you might even say that it was one enormous petri dish in which to study the process of people learning to get along with other people. Like any laboratory, it had its fair share of accidents between its all too rare moments of great insight. But so it was, a kind of lab, Well, I was one of the rats in that lab. In its own way, rats or not, it was a hard family to join that dorm. You felt that as a newcomer. My dorm had its own, all schools kind of have their own slang. My dorm had slang within the slang. It had its own customs. It had its own subtle pecking order. You mostly learned the rules by learning you had broken one, and ignorance was not considered a valid excuse. It was not exactly Lord of the Flies, but it was not exactly unlike Lord of the Flies either. And we freshmen spent a lot of our time in those first few weeks trying to figure out what the differences were and what we were supposed to do. And yet, even as newcomers, it felt decidedly below our intelligence when one evening in October, late October, our dorm head called a meeting. And the dorm head called the meeting to alert us that sometime very soon, just after lights out, we should expect our very first fire drill of the year. And we were like, "We're 14. We know about fire drills, sir." The point of the drill, he explained, he was rather pedantic, Mr. Mahoney. The point of the drill, he was also the dean of students, so he took nothing for granted, right? The point of the drill is for you to get out of the building by the nearest possible exit and to do so as quickly as possible. You know, oh, really? Is that the, okay. We rolled our eyes, duh, off we went. The next night, the very next night, just before 11 p.m., the fire alarm went off. My roommate and I jumped out of bed. We grabbed our sneakers, hustled outside as we'd been told. And it was then that it became clear why Mr. Mahoney had taken the time to explain the point of a fire drill. Because the only people standing outside the building were the other freshmen. We looked at each other uncertainly. But we did not look for long, because after just a moment, the doors flew open and everyone else in the dorm became streaming outside, And one guy ran out wearing a flowered shower cap and an enormous pink bathrobe that he had brought from his grandmother from home. Somebody else came out clutching two large potted plants that he had clearly taken from the common room. One of the football players was fireman carrying out some other kid, while the guy who was being carried kept screaming about his hamster, his hamster, his hamster. Oh, the humanity. Oh, no. They all pretended to be sobbing. Everyone was in high spirits. Our dorm head was not amused, which of course only sweetened the pot of the whole thing. We were delighted, actually, when of course we were included in the punishment, although we had done nothing. Because it felt finally like we were part of the family. At last, we were part of the family. 2 weeks later, at about 2 a.m, the fire alarm rang again. "Bleh," said my roommate, "really?" But we got out of bed, and as we had sort of learned, we looked around trying to find something funny that we could pretend to rescue, which is about when we heard the fire trucks. Without another word, we just went outside and came upon what was a very different scene. Everyone else was there. No props this time. Nobody was saying a word. Nobody was even really looking at each other. It was late. We were tired. Someone did murmur that it seemed like there'd been a lot of smoke in the hall on the third floor when they were coming down. And one of the student proctors had been shouting from one of the rooms. And it was then that we kind of realized that two students who should have been there weren't there. And the fire department went upstairs. It was cold. Nobody said much after we saw the fire department go up. We could see the other dorms around us with people crowded in the windows watching. Our dorm head was nowhere to be seen. And then abruptly the doors opened again. And out they came. The boys who had been missing. They were wearing blankets, but they were okay. And it turns out that they had been studying after the lights were supposed to be out, and they had, in true boarding school fashion, thrown a towel over the lamp to keep from getting caught, but then they had each fallen asleep at their desks, and the towel had caught fire, and it was only because a proctor had walked by and smelled smoke that the story had a happy ending. We did not know all that at that moment. At that moment, all we knew was that everyone was okay. We were all okay. And the danger, the real danger, was over. We didn't realize it right away, of course, but in the days that followed, it became clear that it was really on that second night. Not on the first, that we new guys truly became part of the family. Sharing the hilarity of our neighbors was important, but it wasn't until we had shared some of their vulnerability. It wasn't until their vulnerability became our vulnerability that we truly belonged. And I think it was then that many of us got our first true glimpse of what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, we're told in this morning's scripture. It's a familiar enough text for us as Christians. In fact, so familiar that Christians often forget that the words are not original to Jesus. Christian tradition has found a way to claim these words. It's been called the one of our central commandments. Consequently, as you might imagine, there's been no shortage of theological ink spilled over whether it represents an extension of the Ten Commandments, an 11th commandment, if you will, or if it's supposed to replace them or be some kind of commentary on them. Theologians love questions like that. And there's no doubt about it, talking about commandments is a whole lot easier than living them. But because we've been so quick to baptize these commandments, we've been quicker to forget that than we should have been, that the words are actually much older than Matthew's gospel. So when Jesus says it, he's reminding them of something they have heard, something they have known. It's not simply his own teaching, but his extension of this teaching that they've all received, that he hopes they will hear with new ears. And in giving these words, Jesus reminds us that his ministry wasn't so much about saying things that had not been said before, but really that no one had ever quite heard them in that way. Jesus could do that. He had the ability to make timeless truths newly personal, newly urgent. He made timeless truths newly timely. Which brings us back to the matter at hand. Because what was it that seems to be on God's mind? It's the perennial challenge of how to treat our neighbors and how it is that we understand what it is to belong. Belonging is an invitation that we extend, but fundamentally the thing that teaches us that we do is that moment when we share something of the vulnerable part of ourselves. When you get to be real with someone that you never quite knew before, not in that way, not really. The world we know is in so many ways a world where we stay on the surface, and there are moments when we have to do that. That self-protection is important. But the deep invitation of who we're called to be, who we get to be as Christian people, is more than anything else this invitation to be real. To not be afraid of vulnerability. To not be afraid of the vulnerability in someone else. And even harder, not to be afraid of our own. It's not hard to love neighborliness, that kind of lovely politeness we have with the people on the property next door. You remember some of you, you know, the days when you knew those neighbors so well, you know, you'd be like, I'm missing a key ingredient from a recipe. You know. You don't have any sugar, do you? What kind do you need? Remember the little courtesies of neighborliness. It was wonderful. You know, I, as someone who grew up in Brooklyn, had my own version of neighborliness. It was more complicated in Brooklyn. The day we moved in, one of our neighbors took my father aside and he said, "Hey, Rick, anything happens, don't worry, we got your back." Somehow that was scarier than anything that might happen, but it was neighborly. It was neighborliness, and he meant it in the nicest way and sincerely, and they were neighbors. It's easy to settle for neighborliness because we miss it so. It's harder now. But this call to be neighbors is beyond just that. It's way deeper. It's that vulnerability of really knowing not what's great, but what's not so great. Not what's easy, but what's hard. And it's being open to the idea of sharing the complexity of our lives. And not just the easy victories, or even the hard-won victories. The victories. But the growing edges. That night, all those years ago, that scary night when it occurred to me for the first time that we had fire drills, not because teachers liked drills, but because there was such a thing as fires, I learned something very important. I learned what it is to be in the presence of people who shared that vulnerability that I knew in myself. And it was on the basis of that that my true relationships finally could begin with those folks. And so it is for us that in learning to love our neighbors as ourselves, we are called to embrace just how precarious things might be in the name of how glorious they might become. Amen.